Well, we celebrate her birthday this month as well. July seems to be the month of birthdays. From all those WW2 veterans, you know, figure it out. How many of y'all were born in the summertime, June, July, or August? Raise your hands. How many of you that are older than 50 were born in June, July, or August? You do the math. I'll let you do the math. So we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and I just, to be, as you know, I'm pretty honest, I don't like it. I think we've been duped over the years by thinking that gifts are more important than fruit. There's a lot of gifted people, but there's not a lot of fruitful people. And I'm talking about in the kingdom. And it hurts my feelings. I told you nobody can hurt my feelings. I don't think that's a somebody, but it just does, because I think I kind of mentioned this last week, but it's been intensified in me this week. I think social media has exposed it, and I think that actually God's hand might even be in social media so that we can see who we really are. So today I'm going to talk about the fruit of peace. We've done love. We talked about love, joy, and peace. As I study it too, it just seems like they're in chronological order, if you will. I don't think you'll ever have joy if you really don't love. I don't think you'll ever have peace if you don't have the joy of the love, right? Here's the scripture where we're at. I capitalized peace, so you'll remember what we're talking about today. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things because there's nothing illegal in them. So the word peace, by the way, is the word Irene, which is where we get the name Irene. I've known one Irene in my life. She used to actually be at this church. She went home to be the Lord years ago. But Irene, and it literally means, that's where the word Irene and the word serenity comes from. But here's what the word means. It means the state of national tranquility. Okay, that's blown. Is that fair? It means peace between individuals. Okay, great. Now here's the one that I've been hammering for years and years, and it means tranquility, the state of tranquility for the soul that's assured of its salvation in Christ. But when you incorporate all of this, it's really quite interesting. See, because what we have done in our own thinking is we think to get peace, we have to rid ourselves of things that create anxiety. So I need to get rid of my spouse and my life will be good, or I need to get rid of my boss, or I need to get rid of my neighbors, or I need to get rid of my bills. I need to get rid of something so that I can receive peace. That is not peace. And the truth is, you're going to never have peace because you're going to always have conflicts and always have problems. Just like joy that we talked about last week, peace doesn't come with the absence of the storm. It comes in the presence of the storm. That's where peace really is found. Sometimes we don't have things going on in our lives, so we think we have peace, but it's not really peace, it's just calm. Let's look at this great story right here. So Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I just love that. Man, when you're going to sleep, you got to have a good pillow, right? And the disciples woke him up shouting. Have you ever been woken up by somebody yelling at you? Rather than, you know, honey, it's time. Okay, it's time to get it. It's like, hey, ah! You didn't want to, yeah. So, and Jesus was as much human as he was God. So I'm sure this did not set well with him. And because they shouted at him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" You ever said that to God? Do you not care where I'm at? Are you sleeping? Verse 39. So when Jesus woke up, obviously, I'm telling you, I don't think he was in a good frame of mind. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the disciples, interesting, were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other, "that even the wind and the waves obey him." If the fruit of peace is present, had there been the fruit of peace in these guys' lives, there would have been no necessity for the miracle. And they were so fascinated with the miracle of what Christ did, in my opinion, they missed the whole point. Because who is this man? It's the man who has the fruit of peace in his life. It's the man who can sleep during the midst of the storm. That's the message that Christ was giving. Oh, well, they got to see miracles all the time. They were awesome, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying our miracles that are happening here. But there's, believe it or not, there's something deeper than the gift of miracle. And that is the fruit of peace. We can walk in peace in the midst of the storm, Carl. And I know you're in the midst of the storm, and I know that there's one of my favorite memes. Is it says the enemy comes up to you and whispers in your ear, "You'll never come out of the storm." And then you turn around and look at him, and you whisper in his ear, "I am the storm." Yeah. Listen, man. So, let me stay right here. We're told, I want to be like Jesus. Well, if you want to be like Jesus, it ain't about calming the storm. It's about sleeping in it. Because if you look at the story, where was the story at? Jesus was fine. He was on a pillow. He was conked out sleeping. So in the midst of the storm, those guys could have chosen, I shouldn't say chosen, Holy Spirit grows peace in us. But they didn't. So if I'm going to be like Jesus, like everybody wants to be like Jesus, then I'm going to have peace. Well, how do you have it? You're only given it through the Holy Spirit, and it only grows. Here's what's interesting. So I'm going to walk through the last chapter of the letter to the Philippians. Yeah, just so you know, Paul never wrote to the Filipino church. He actually wrote to the Philippian church. That's greatness. And so, there's only four chapters in Philippians. And the last chapter, if you really look at it, it's completely and totally about peace. If he only wrote four chapters, which he didn't write in chapters, I get that, but if he only wrote this one thing, the 1/4 of it is about what we're talking about today. And I just kind of want to walk through that because I saw some stuff in it that I found quite interesting. In fact, there's like three things in there that I want you to see. And the first one, it is actually the first couple verses of chapter 4. And the point is, peace comes through forgiveness. See, because, listen, how many times have you not been able to sleep at night because you're angry at someone, or you're angry at a situation, or you really refuse to forgive someone? See, just so you know, you can forgive people without them accepting it. I want you to grab that, because it's true. Somehow we have come to this thought pattern of, well, I would forgive them, but they'll never. No, it's, you forgive. So let's look at it. Here's the scripture. Oh, he already put up good. Therefore, Paul's saying, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive from my work. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche, is how you say that. I actually, believe it or not, when I study, I look up where you can do the pronunciation. never works for me, but whatever. So I urge the E and the S, these are both women, by the way, to live in harmony. That literally means to have the same mind in humility. That doesn't mean you have to agree. You get it. You have the same mind of what Christ loved in the humility of who you are. The problem nowadays, especially I say in Christianity, is we have such strong opinion, we refuse to walk in humility. And you'll never be able to agree in that. Let me stay right here. So here's these two women, committed Christians, and they're in a disagreement. And here Paul is talking to the Philippian church, and all of a sudden when he gets to chapter 4, he stops everything to talk to these two women. This has got to be pretty important here. So, you know, my thought came to me, why did he do it? Why did he stop like that? And here's what I wrote, because the world needs to see that we don't do things the way they do. You know, we're so stuck in, and I was so taught my whole life about be ye separate from the world and stuff. Our separation has nothing to do with anything but who we are in Jesus. Our separation is I can love you even if you hate me. You get it? That's our separation. What separates us from the masses is His love and His grace and His mercy and His good news. You at Galileon, the good news of who Christ is. The Apostle Paul had this gripped better than anybody else in the Bible concerning who Christ was. Now, when I just said that, I can hear people going, what about Jesus? Come on, Jesus don't count. You get what I'm saying. I'm talking about a regular man. Jesus was perfect. And, sorry. So these women couldn't change what had happened, whatever it was. He didn't say what it was. They couldn't change what had happened, but their attitude toward one another could. And that's where the fruit of peace is. You get it. So finding fault will never allow the fruit of peace to bring solution to anything. We can find fault all day, but we need solution. Over the years, Gay and I, when we've had people come in, you know, they've got some problems and they're wanting to point blame and stuff. And we just tell them, look, we get it. We're not looking for fault here. We're looking for solution. What is the solution? When you walk in solution thinking instead of fault-finding thinking, your life will change and you'll walk in peace and you'll sleep at night when you don't think you can. Trust me, I have had a week of where I could have not slept. So, again, even if you can't come to a solution, you can walk in peace. The Apostle Paul to the Roman church, let's look at it, to the Roman church, he's talking about the same thing pretty much. I just want you to know for 20 minutes, I got stuck right there. Bless those who persecute you. I got stuck. Because I don't want to bless anybody that persecutes me. Because I unfortunately looked at the original word bless, and it's not good. Because it talks about praying happiness on others. It talks about praying prosperity on others. Praying God's blessing on others. Praying that God will help them. No. And I stopped on purpose because we like to run through five words? We like to run through those. And I stopped on purpose and I'm being so honest today. Well, I'm always honest. It's a problem. I just flat stopped and I said, I can't do this. And I was all broken and stuff and feeling sorry for myself, I guess. And here's God. You ready for hear me now? Yeah. You won't. It's not that you can't. Is that you won't. And I'm like, who are you to correct me, God? No, I really didn't do that. So Paul is saying, bless those who persecute you, and bless them and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Oh man, that's easy, right? I mean, really? You know, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That's kind of easy too. But be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in your mind. But associate with the lowly. Oh man, we get the lowly part, right? Don't be so smart in your own thinking. Sorry, don't be so wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anybody. This is like a checklist I was going through for me. I'm like, okay, that's okay. That's okay. I don't like that one. That's okay. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if, that word if can also mean whether. And I think it actually would fit better here. Whether it's possible or not, in other words. So far as it depends on you. That word depends is a simple word. Ek, is it? And it means actions and motions. So as far as it depends upon your actions and your motions, you get it? Yeah. Be at peace. It's. I told you the words irene. This is the verb form of it, ireneo, with all men. So as far as it depends on you, as far as your actions and your motions, walk in, because that's what a verb does, right? A verb is action. Walk in peace towards all men. I've shared with you guys many times about my own father. And we had come to this point to where we had to, through a series of events, we had to learn to walk in peace outside of seeing each other all the time. I had to, for my sake, after really studying this out, I had to be able to release him and walk in peace with him to the best that I could without him even receiving the peace I was trying to offer. Do you understand what I'm saying? As far as it depends on me, my actions and my motivations needed to be pure. And the only way I found out that they were actually pure, because I thought they were pure, but it's easy to think that you're pure when it's from a distance. But when you get 3D, when my sister was killed downtown and hit by the bus, some of y'all know that, some of y'all are going, oh my God, well, just Google it. Seriously, you'll find it. My dad decided to come to, obviously, to Judy's funeral, which was his daughter. And so I knew he was coming. I felt like my heart was good, that I was at peace, no matter if, even though we couldn't find solution, you can still be at peace with the situation. And so he shows up at the wake, and Gay says, your dad just walked in, and so I'm going to face the music, not for him, but for me. And I walk up to him, and he holds me and falls apart on me. I was totally unemotionless. I mean, I really had no emotions at all, but my heart was clean. I knew I really somehow did that thing right. That's where peace is. Peace is, and you can be at peace with other people even if they don't want the peace that you are offering. You have to do that for your own self, or you really won't sleep at night, and in your mind you will be stirring and going, oh, what did he say? I said that. Oh yeah, you get it. Okay. So that's the first part where Paul talked about that whole forgiveness thing. The second of 3 points is all today. Is peace comes through a mind that doesn't worry or fear. And so Paul keeps going after he talks about these ladies. Here's the next part that he says. Again, the last chapter is totally about this. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Man, that bugged me too. Always is a strong word. I looked up the word always and it means always. I was kind of hoping I could weasel out. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. Let everybody see that you're considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord's coming soon. Here's I highlighted this on purpose. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I got stuck there because here's what happens. We do worry about things, and we spend our time and energy worrying about things or trying to fix things or trying to change somebody's mind about things, when if we would pray for those things and take the same energy we spend on trying to fix it as we do praying, whether it's on your knees or walking around or however you pray praying, I'm telling you, you're going to see some serious things happen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a child that's just a crazy drug addict, stop trying to fix them by throwing them into rehab and get down and pray. It's really that simple. I don't know how to pray. Yeah, you do. Help! Yeah. That ain't prayer. That is prayer. It's communicating with God. I need help, God. I don't know what. Can you not be that honest? I don't know what to say to you. I'm mad. They've messed up. I need help, God. And boy, listen, you'll learn how to pray quick because you'll learn how to just talk to Him. Because that's really what prayer means. It's a communication thing. It's not this thing we've created. So instead of worrying about stuff, and that is in every part of life. Again, I go back to social media because it's breaking my heart. And I keep telling the Lord I want off of it, but the Lord won't release me from it. And what I don't mean I'm on there every day doing nothing, but I do pay attention. And it's amazing to me if the effort, even people who post their food, Ed, you know, they put their food on there all the time. It's like, I'm like, man, if they would just quit posting their food, they might lose some weight. They're proud to be looking at, you know. If the energy, this, I'll give you a great example. Here's the greatest example I'm giving. It just came to me, so it's good. So my wife's now on the council, as you know, and so there's all the political things, and there's this group that has started of these wonderful young ladies, and they call themselves Halt 'Em Strong, and it's from her slogan, Halt 'Em Stronger Together. But they do all kinds of crazy, and what I mean by crazy things, I just read this one yesterday. They went out, somebody posted a picture of over by Sam's Furniture of how the weeds were growing up, and it's Sam's Furniture's responsibility to clean that mess up, not the city's, right? So you get people who are griping about the city. Well, one of these Halt 'Em Strong girls goes over, pulls the weeds, and throws kills on it, and then a week later, which was just yesterday, she sent another picture and said, look, the kills worked. So here's this beautiful telephone pole that doesn't have weeds around. But see, you get what I'm saying? This is how they... So what had happened was somebody had put on there about this pole that was leaning over, blah, blah, blah. The guys being the fire department had been out there to make sure the pole was safe. They would never have left the scene had the pole not been safe. And so somebody's throwing on there, man, that pole's been there forever. It's not true. I know because I got toned out on it at 7:06 the night before. Right, you get it. So anyway, so they're spending all this energy, honest to goodness, all this energy. And so what? I picked up the phone and called the city and said, hey, I'm sure you guys already know, blah, blah, and I hung up. And then I got on there. And I said, I called the city and they're aware of it now. What I didn't say that I really wanted to say, because I had to bite my tongue bloody, was the same energy you just spent doing all this griping and complaining about this pole, if you'd have just made the phone call yourself. You could have saved you some time. I mean, you have spent an hour and a half griping about a pole that all you got to do is make a phone call. What I'm trying to help you with is, if all that energy you spent on trying to fix something, change something, spend that in time with Him, man. That's what He's saying. Don't worry about stuff. Pray about stuff. Tell God what you need. He already knows. And thank Him for all He's done. Man, that is just big. And watch this. Then, what does then mean? If you'll do that, you're going to have God's peace. And it's that peace which exceeds anything that we can really understand. There is a peace in God that is so flabbergasting, other people won't understand that you can walk in the peace that you're walking in because of the situation you're in. I'm telling you, when you're in a situation, instead of cursing the situation, spend time with Him in the situation. It's amazing. And it's not trite. Pray about everything, you know, and we just hammer. No, seriously, I pray about everything. God, if you ever live in California, Southern California, it's impossible to do anything driving. And we had to go to get my mother at the train station, Union Train Station, L.A., humongous, absolutely no parking, about 30 parking places over here and about 5,000 as you turn around the corner, right? And you still can't find a parking place. So we're getting there, and Gay's like, I just feel like I need to, I said, there's nothing to park on this side. It's only 30 spots. We're in a hurry. My mom's going to be crazy. There it was. Turn left, there it was, that part. We pray about weird things. My kids one time were really mad, and they were real young, and we were in L.A., and the lights in L.A. change about every 7 minutes, and I'm not playing. That's a very long time, but that's what they do because they want all the traffic to flow through. So she had just, you know, the kids, she's coming up, light changes yellow. It's not dad. Dad runs yellow. Mom stops at yellow. To mom, yellow means caution. To dad, it means speed up and go. Right? So they're all, so she stops. They're gripey. You know, if dad was driving, you know, and I wasn't in the car. She just told me the story. If dad was driving, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, well, you know, God could change this. Oh, God, my kids, little. Oh, God couldn't do it. And she got mad. She said, change to the light. And boom, it changed. And listen, that's one of the greatest miracles I've ever known. I'm not playing. I've ever known. That, because that don't happen, not in Los Angeles, you know. So you can call it bizarre, but listen, prayer really and truly does change things. The best thing it changes is in you. Because when that peace arrives in your heart, it doesn't matter how stormy the storm is. You can sleep on the pillow while people are yelling at you. Don't you get it? Aren't you going to do something? No, I'm just going to pray. Then you'll experience God's peace, that peace that passes that understanding, and His peace will guard your heart, and it'll guard your mind. Phronio, man, that's where the battle is. Let me keep going here. Here's what I want. The next day, that thing I just read, you're still there, right? Yeah, yeah. So look at that. Is that not cool? Don't worry, man. Pray about everything. That is so dynamic. Paul must have been sitting in a cabana, sipping a Mai Tai on the beach. When he wrote this, how cool. The dude was in prison, man. Watch this. This is the very beginning, by the way. This is the first chapter of the four chapters because I want you to see what was happening. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here being in a Roman prison, has helped to spread the good news about Christ. Because everybody here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldness to speak God's message without fear. Why not? Paul can do it. I can. Verse 15. Oh, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry and full of gifts. Gifts, 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 man. If you're gifted to speak, or gift, gift, gift. Full of rivalry and stuff. But others preach about Christ with pure motives. And they preach because they love me. Paul's talking about they love Paul. For they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Never in my life did I think I would reach the point where I have to defend the good news of Jesus. I don't have to defend the law. I don't have to defend the bad news that people portray that God is. I don't have to defend that if you don't do A, B, and C, Ben, you're going straight to hell in a handbasket. I don't have to defend that because people love that. I have to defend the fact that what Christ did on the cross was real. I have to defend the fact that everything that He accomplished for me on the cross was for me, and that the perfection that He had is now my perfection, that I am now declared righteous, not because of anything that I did, but because of everything that He did, that as God looks at the cross, He sees my ugly self, but when He looks at me, He sees Jesus. See, that's what I have to defend. And that's the good news of Christ. And it is. And it brings people to Christ. And here Paul is in the midst of the, without any kind of access to a computer, in the midst of this, and he said, I'm appointed to defend the good news. Verse 17, those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition. This is what I love but hate. Sorry. They preach with selfish ambition. Look at me. Not sincerely, intending to make my chains, Paul's chains, more painful to me. But here's what, this is the part I hate, but that doesn't matter. Yes, it does. That matters. You get it. But Paul says, but that doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I'm going to rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. If this man didn't have a grip on what was going on here. The Holy Spirit fruit is powerful. And I'm talking about all of it. Paul had joy, he had peace, and he had a divine grip on his purpose of loving and serving others and sharing the good news of Christ. And he didn't care who it made mad. Who cares? He's in prison anyway. Are they going to change his sentence to kill him? What would he say? to die is Christ. I mean, to die is Christ, or to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So you can't put a good man down when the good man don't care. And then the last point that I'll share is the last part of what he had said. I'm assuming some of y'all are Disney people. You've seen Peter Pan, the movie Peter Pan, and the cartoon Peter Pan, right? Remember the scene where Peter Pan's flying around the room, and little John and whatever his sister's name was are jumping off the bed and trying to fly. And so, well, finally, I'm going to do the quote here. Finally, John looked at him and says, "How do you do that?" And here's what Peter Pan said, and I quote Peter Pan, just so you know, just tell people I quote Peter Pan. We go to a church where the pastor quotes Peter Pan. Here's what Peter Pan said. He said, "You just think lovely, wonderful thoughts, and they lift you up in the air." And that's the same for us believers. And Paul said so at the last of this chapter. Here it is. Finally, which by the way, that word finally kind of literally means one final thing is what he's saying. One final thing before I hang up the phone with you Philippians that I love dearly. One final thing I want to tell you. Whatever's true, I put the Greek words there on purpose. I'm not going to pronounce them. Finally, Brent, whatever is true, count these, that's one. Whatever is honorable, that's two. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, and if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things, the things that you've learned and received and heard from and seen in me, and practice these. So Paul's saying, all these things you've learned from me as he's in prison. And I just love it. That's not an arrogant statement he's making at all. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice those. And the God of peace will be with you. So here's what I did. I just broke down and read all those words. And here's what happened. Paul gives us 8 filters to run our thoughts through. Do you hear me? So that we can have peace. In fact, if you go to another place where he writes, I think it's Corinthians where he talks about, you know, to cast down imaginations and anything that exalts itself above God. This is how we do that. So is it true? This is what he asked. Is it true? That word is, it literally means love and speak truth. In other words, is it God's word of truth or man's opinion or just imagined? Is it truth? And then that word honorable means to esteem character. In other words, I give esteem to someone that has character. So the question for me is, do my thoughts place a higher value on people? And then that word right literally means, I love this, innocent, faultless, and guiltless. The way that God views us if we believe in Jesus Christ. So do my thoughts yield to God's loving view of mankind? Do you understand that? He loves everybody, even the people you can't stand that have a different opinion or what. It doesn't matter. Your opinion of God doesn't matter. He loves them. So if my mind is constantly shattered with that, I will never have peace if I can't view mankind the way that God views mankind. By the way, I'm not telling you I'm there, but I'm telling you I'm pursuing to get there. I'm learning along with y'all is learning. You get it? So, right. So then pure. That word pure means pure from carnality. And so it's, are my thoughts mixed up with the thoughts of the current culture? Am I so concerned about my current culture? Am I just being as carnal? Again, we are separate, but our separation has nothing to do with the good and bad things we do. Our separation has all to do with the love that we pursue and we give to other people and the kindness and the good. All the fruits of the Spirit that are grown in us, that's what separates us. And I'm afraid to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're not doing too good in that fruit department. What we do is we look like a fruit. You look like a fruit. It looks like an orange, beautiful plastic orange. You cut it open, it's empty inside. Oh, we'll spray it and make it smell like an orange. I'm sorry, man. That ain't how it works. You know how it works? By allowing the Holy Spirit to break you. You know what we need? You know what this, not the country. The country will never get this until the church gets this. We need broken men and women that are broken. And I mean broken before Him. That are so broken, they would care about other people, no matter how much you dislike them. That's what we need. So I said the pure one, the lovely one. That means lovable and gracious. So are my thoughts uplifting and encouraging? Are my thoughts, not my words, my thoughts, because he gets to the words here in a second. My thoughts are my thoughts. They're not. I want them to be. And now that I'm aware of it, you know, it's when you get aware of something, it's easier to change than if you're not aware, right? So are my thoughts uplifting and encouraging? And then the next one, the good repute one. Good repute, what a great word. It means speaking or sounding well. So would others love to hear my thoughts and practice them? Ha, ha, ha. Ooh, no. You get it. And that word excellence, so he's saying, if any of these things are in excellence, that word means moral goodness, which simply is the course of my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions. Are they pure? Are they useful? And are they meaningful? And then worthy of praise or commendation. And this is what he's asking. Our thoughts should be worthy of praise, not God worthy of praise. Our thoughts. So the question is, would God be pleased with my thoughts right now and praise me for them? Ah. That's why the Holy Spirit grows fruit, because we can't do fruit on our own. You cannot modify your behavior long enough in any way, shape, or form for that to happen in us. He says, I will transform you by the renewing of your mind. And that's where it all lands, in that old fronio up there. And then that last word, dwell, it means to weigh in, to meditate on, or to decide. He's saying, I want you, all those wonderful, let's look at it. Find it, whatever's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, is if there's any excellence in it, anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. Live there. Live there. Live there. Don't just vacation there. Yeah. Live there. And then here's my total conclusion to the last scripture right here. Jesus had just kind of explained the fact that he was going to leave the earth. At one point he just flat told him, look, I'm fixing to die. I'm going to be raised in 3 days. In this particular situation, he had basically shared with the guys and the people around him that you're fixing to be not very happy, but you're going to get to see me again. And they were a little confused. And then he spoke a little bit plainer. And then he says this, I've told you all this, that I'm fixing to die and come back so that you can have peace in me. Because here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. That kind of blows that whole, man, we're there for several years. We had a great teaching about it. We didn't have to go through nothing, you know, Jesus. Well, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world, and he has, and it's over, and it's done. To tell us that it's finished. But now, we can walk in peace. I want you to go ahead and put that last frame up. Y'all remember this song? I got to show you something. I plan on singing it, but here's what's so funny. As I looked at, I go over my notes, I send the word to Mike, and he gets it all put on this stuff so y'all can see it. And so I was reading them today, just today, before service, and That's supposed to say billows of love, not bellows of love. But watch. So the word billows is like if you're on the sea and there's billows of waves, you're just overflowing. And that's what it's supposed to say. But the word bellows, you know what these kind of bellows are, right? You know, the kind that you use to stoke a fire. That, but the word bellows, I looked it up because I'm like, I don't think anything's accident ever. So I looked it up, and it has to do with the esophagus and the larynx and stuff, and it's all about breathing in and breathing out. So that in fathomless breathing in and breathing out of love, I receive His love, I give His love. I receive His love, I give His love. Anyway, that's probably not biblical. I'm talking about. All right, come on up here, Mrs. Van Zandt.
Would you all stand with us this morning?
If you know this song, let's try it. It's peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit. Forever I pray in fathomless bellows of love. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
One more time.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
There's good news today. Every trial and every trouble sends my roots down deeper in the dark places, because the roots don't grow in the light. The roots grow in the darkness. And He says that we will be established as pillars, as oaks whose roots grow deep down into the water, so that when the storms and the adversity come on the top, while other things are being blown away, these things that He's established in us will stay, and they will remain. And who is it that remains in us? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that He has left for us. So here's the good news for today. This is doable. Peace is doable because of who I have living in me. The enemy wants you to deny His power, to blame, to shame, to find fault, and he wants us to rest and trust Him. That what He said He will do, He will do. Who's in agreement to trust today? Amen. Amen. Father, today we just thank You, Lord. We give You praise in this house, God, that You have provided for us today, God, Your peace no matter what. Lord, in my heart today, I stand in agreement with You to have what You say I can have. And God, I pray over every ear that's represented in this church today, Lord, that they will not hear accusation. They will not hear torment, Lord, but their ears will be tuned into Your Spirit, that this word will grow deep, that it will be planted and rooted, God, that we can have Your peace when we call out on You. Lord, grant it today, I pray, in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen.